It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? It's a great day to study the Word of God. Glad that you've joined us today. Now please enjoy this precious time of the study of the Word of God. And we're in the book of John, John chapter 17. John chapter 17. We're going to read from verse 3 down through the 10th verse. So please join us as we read this today and enjoy this time today of study as we look and read from John chapter 17, verse 3 through 10. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. Glad that you've joined us today to study the Word of God. We do have an address, a mailing address that's a little different. I'd like for you to have. The mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, again, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. Glad that you've joined us now. Let's begin to read. John chapter 17, beginning to read with verse 3. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me. They kept, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. And they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Let's begin with prayer before we start the study. Father, I thank you today that we can come and enjoy this precious time. Help us to see your way and see your will for our lives. It's a glorious time to be in your word. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for your word, your living word that I may enjoy and fellowship with and over on a continuous basis, Lord. Thank you, Father. Please guide and lead us now as we study this precious word today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We finished last time. We had read a verse of Scripture out of Romans. Romans chapter 8, verses 29 through 31. And I would like to begin with those verses today, and then we'll get back to and incorporate that into what we are studying here in John chapter 17. I think that would be maybe an improved way over going through the 17th chapter through these verses we've read and then come to Romans. So let's go to Romans first. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 through 31. And we have, and I want you to turn there, if you would, please. I have two Bibles in front of me, and have one, and actually I have three, I guess, and two of them that are open to the text we're working on right now, another that I can grab any time I need to right next to me here. It's wonderful to have the Word of God. Go to the Old King James is what I prefer you to have. I believe that it to be the clearest, the closest that we have. Please enjoy it, study it, and stay with the Old King James is my recommendation to you. I think it's the closest to the Word of God that we have. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 now. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestine, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, we enjoy the precious word, and we enjoy looking. Scripture confirms Scripture. Now, we have just read through, and I'm going to read from the 3rd through the 6th verse, and then of John 17. I hope that you held your hand back there so that you don't have to flip the pages back, or it doesn't take quite so long. John chapter 17, verse 3, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. We're going to be looking at two things, the eternal life that is spoken of in verse 3. Yes, he is returning in the next two verses back to be in the presence of his Father. But then here in verse 6, it clearly speaks that we have, as we talked last week we were together, that believers, Jesus states, and this is believers, are the Father's gift to the Son. And we looked that up in the second verse of chapter 17, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Okay, listen to those words. And we also read that in the sixth verse that we've already read. The ninth verse, we have the same thing. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. We keep hearing those words, thou hast given me. In verse 6 we have, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Jesus is speaking to his Father. Remember, this is the great Lord's Prayer, not the Lord's Prayer that you're probably used to, but that is really not, that's a teaching prayer. That's what we're to be doing in teaching, learning how to fellowship and to pray with the Father. This here is actually the Lord's Prayer. The Lord Jesus Christ is praying to his Father, and he has allowed us to hear it, to witness it here in his precious word. And so when we look through these verses, we see these words, thou gavest them me, in the sixth verse, unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Jesus is speaking to the Father. Now, how do we become one that would be the gift that the Father gives to the Son? How do we become one that owns salvation, that has eternal life, that can honestly say and call ourselves Christian? How can we possess that? Is it something that God just looks down through eternity and decides, okay, this one can, this one can't, this one will, this one won't? Is that the way God has done it? Not at all. And that's the reason we went back here to Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Because here is where it makes it very clear what has taken place. Many people stay away from these verses because they're afraid of these words, predestined, called, justified, glorified, foreknowledge, all those things, conformed. They're afraid of all those words instead of taking time looking them up to see exactly what they mean, so that we may have a clear picture of exactly how we become the gift the Father gives the Son, and then confirms all of these little parts of the second, and we have the sixth, the ninth, the 11th, the 12th, and the 24th verse, where it speaks of that. And again, just quickly in the second verse, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now, this relationship, this wonderful relationship between the Father and the Son, and the wonderful relationship, the part that we have, let's look now at Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. These words here are the ones that give most of the trouble. It does continue in verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. If you'll notice, it's building. We begin with the word to foreknow. And everything is built up on and beyond what God knows. And God knows something and is able, has the ability to look down all through eternity, from before the beginning of time to beyond the end of time. Now, how can we have no beginning and no end? Well, that's a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is eternal, as God the Father and God the Holy Spirit is eternal. God's foreknowledge, God foreknows, because he can look down through time, who is going to respond to his call. That wonderful call goes out to a multitude of people. And they are given the Word of God. They are given an opportunity to respond to the call of God. We have nothing in us that has a desire to turn unto God the Father, unto God the Son, to respond at all to the Holy Spirit. It is a work that God puts in us. And he gives you that opportunity. If you want to believe, you will and can believe. If you say, well, I just can't believe it, you don't want to. You have not recognized that you're a sinner, that you're lost in your sin, you're condemned, you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire because of your rejection of the free gift of salvation that Jesus gives you by coming to him by faith. You have rejected that, you've turned away from that. And so you say, I don't believe. Well, that's your work. If you wanted to believe, God would give you the strength and the opportunity to believe. So today, if you want to believe in Jesus Christ, say just, God, please, I want to. I am coming to you. I believe that this is true, that you died on the cross of Calvary for me, that I may live. Please, Father, now save me. Please take my sin away, and he will do that. God's foreknowledge, God foreknew as he looked all the way down through time the very day that I would be saved. He watched me as I listened to this word that I was given on cassette tape. I looked it up in the Bible, in his book, and I found it to be true. And I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I said, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save me. You've heard this many times. Maybe you remember it. Maybe you don't. Maybe you're a new listener and you have not heard me give my testimony. When I finally accepted Jesus Christ and asked him to save me, to forgive me of my sins, and to come into my heart and save me, I was halfway between the Pharaoh house and the house. I was farming, I took care, I was doing the chores, I got done with taking care of the sows in the farrowing house, and I was walking from the farrowing house to the house, and about halfway through, that was enough. I got down on my knees, and I said, all right, Lord Jesus, please, forgive me of my sins, come into my heart and save me. Now, those words didn't just come to me. I had heard those words proclaimed. That's the reason we have this radio program, so that you know how to be saved, how to come by faith to Jesus Christ and have that personal relationship with him. But God knew. God knew the day. You know, some 6,000 years after Adam, he knew the day that I was going to trust in Jesus Christ. And because he foreknew, then he set something up for me. He predestined me. Now, this predestined is different from to foreknow. To foreknow is just having the knowledge, knowing that I was going to be saved. God had that. And this predestined then, what I have is determined to mark out beforehand here, predestined. So because God knew beforehand, because God knew, he set his life, he set my life, I'm sorry, he set my life to be conformed to the image of his Son. We have that in the rest of that verse. We're going to look at those words. But my life was set. So there's a special direction and a special calling for those that God, as he looked down through time and knew were going to trust in him, he foreknew who was going to come by faith. Free will. You've listened long enough. You know that I believe that God gives us a free will, an opportunity to come to him. And it's, we are not forced, we're not robots, just certain people can be saved, certain can't be saved. That's not true at all. God looked down through time, and whoever listened to that call of the Holy Spirit, as the Word of God was proclaimed, the Holy Spirit began to convict the heart, show us our filthiness and our dirtiness, then we had an opportunity to come by faith to Jesus. God knew when that was going to happen. He knew the day that was going to happen, and I praise him for it. Because he knew the day that was going to happen, he set my life from that time on to be conformed to the image of his Son. A special calling, a special work that is set for those that come by faith to Jesus. So you see, because God knew beforehand, before I was saved, he knew I was going to be saved. And so the day I was saved, my life was set to be like Jesus. I have all the power and all the strength to walk, to witness, to share the gospel, to live a life that Jesus wants me to live. All that is given there. He's predestined me to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now, foreknow, predestined, set forth, determined, marked out beforehand because of God's foreknowledge. Predestined to be conformed, having the same form as another. Conformed as who? Conformed to the image of his Son. Image here is quite a definition. This is all the Greek definitions of these words. Foreknow, predestinate, conform, and now image. It is more than just a mere likeness. It is not a mere likeness. It is a representation and a manifestation. A representation and a manifestation. Listen to this carefully now. This in the explanation so that we can understand. Man was created as being a visible representation of God. In the fall, when he sinned, when man sinned, Adam sinned, man ceased to be a perfect vehicle for the representation of God. However, God's grace in Christ will accomplish more than what Adam lost. A Christian not only will resemble Christ, but also represent him. We are, by the foreknowledge of God, predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see the life of the hope and the joy and the life of a believer in Jesus Christ. God knew that I was going to be saved. He knew that you're going to be saved if you'll come by faith. He knew the very day, the very second. He doesn't make you. He doesn't force you, but he knows that day. Everything is set upon that time. Now, if you see, if God through time looks down and will recognize that you refuse Jesus Christ, you refuse to come to him, you will not come to him, if that happens, then your life isn't predestined. You're not one of the called. You're not going to be justified. You're not going to, as the scripture continues, them he also glorified. All that is null and void to you because of your decision. Not something God threw before time had set up, but because of your decision. Now please, you come by faith to Jesus Christ. We have a free will, and I want you to come by faith to Jesus Christ and be saved. We have looked at foreknow, we've looked at predestinate, we've looked at conformed, we've looked at image. Now let's come down to called. Let me just read this in context again. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, because of his foreknowledge, he set the life of that person that come by faith to Jesus to be like Jesus Christ. Whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Called is to invite, to summon, is used particularly of the divine call to partake of the blessings of redemption. So you see, it all comes down to you and a decision that you need to make. You need to come by faith to Jesus Christ. Moreover, he did predestinate them, he also called. To whom he called, them he also justified. You see, it all begins with your decision to come by faith to Jesus Christ. Yes, God knows as he looks down through time. And so because he knows whether you will or will not, and if you do, then he has set this beautiful opportunity in life before you. Justified. Whom he also has called, them he also justified. To deem to be right. To pronounce righteous to God. We do that because and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has given us the opportunity to be righteous. He gives us the opportunity to live right. He gives us the opportunity because of the call he gives. We can become the called if we come by faith to him and trust in him. It's so important. It's your decision. It's not a church membership deal. It's not that you've went through confirmation and you've got those things. Please do not confuse baptism, church instruction, church membership, communion. Don't confuse any of those things as being your commitment to Christ. Yes, those are all wonderful things. I enjoy all of them. But they do not save me, nor do they keep me. They have no power to forgive sin. They have one thing, that's the thing of fellowship, to enjoy the fellowship. Baptism comes after you come by faith to Jesus Christ. It shows you, shows those around you what has happened in your heart. That's the reason that there's no baptism other than immersion. Because you see, you come by faith to Jesus Christ first. And once you have come by faith to Jesus Christ, then you go and have a group of believers that are present. Something you don't do by yourself. You do it to testify to others. You ask your friends and your family to come. I want to show you what Jesus Christ has done for me. We go down into the baptistry. You go down into a creek, down into a pond, down into the river. And you stand in that water, and as you're standing in that water, that represents your old self, the way you were. Then you go down under the water, and that pictures us dying in the Lord Jesus. Coming back up out of the water pictures the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. You see why sprinkling doesn't do it? People I've heard say, well, how much water does it take to save you? There's no amount of water can save you. No kind of water can save you. Jesus Christ and him alone, his precious blood is all that can save you. But baptism is a beautiful, wonderful picture of what's taken place in your heart. But you sure can't do that with sprinkling. So we have the baptism that's part of it. You had the Lord's Supper. Some believe that when you take the bread and the wine, that it either is transformed before you take it, or it's transformed after you take it, and it becomes actually the blood and the body of the Lord Jesus, and then it becomes forgiveness of sins with it, and things like that. Many believe back with the baptism that that's when you receive the Holy Spirit. Not true. You receive the Holy Spirit the day you come by faith to Jesus Christ. Do you have forgiveness of sins and communion? No, the Word of God does not teach that. It is for us to remember what has happened. It's only for believers to have. It's not for everybody to have. It's not for the whole church membership. It is for those that have come by faith to Jesus Christ. We remember back to the cross. The juice represents his blood, his precious blood that he shed for us. The bread speaks of his broken body. please that you remember what he did and how awful the death was upon the cross, because it was all done for you and for me that we can have life. All these things, church membership, all these things have nothing to do with salvation. There are things that a believer has an opportunity to enjoy after salvation. God knew, foreknows. He foreknows the day. He sets our life out to be conformed to the image of His Son, in whom He did predestinate to those that He set that life forward before us. To them that He predestinated, He also called, so we become one of the called. And whom He called, He also justified. And whom He justified, He also glorified. To glorify is to magnify, to extol, to praise, to give honor unto God. What a wonderful life that we have. What a wonderful opportunity that we have as a believer in Jesus Christ. Please that you look unto the Lord Jesus. You see these opportunities that He has given us. And you recognize that it hinges all upon a decision that you will or will not make, whether you come by faith to Jesus Christ or not. Now let's go back to John chapter 17, verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. That this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest me out of the world. Now we want to come to there, and yes, we have some things to talk about before that. But while we're at Romans chapter 8, verse 29 through 30, I want you to see how that applies to this verse of Scripture. I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest me out of the world. Who did the Father give the Son? The Father gave the Son those that said, I will. They became the whosoever. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Those. That's who we have here. That's who's listed, because God, with His foreknowledge, looked down through time. He gave every one of those to the Son. Everyone that was going to come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you look now and you wonder, how can a person then be saved and not lose your salvation? Many places believe in salvation is a free gift. It comes by faith. You believe in Jesus Christ and you're saved. You confess your sin before Him and you're saved. But you got to do some works to keep your salvation, baptism or faithful membership to the church, things that you have to do. Well, when did Jesus Christ die for your sin? Did He not die for your sin prior to your birth? He knows every sin you have committed and ever will commit. Your life is set to be like Jesus Christ. Now, it's your decision to whether you follow His strength, His direction, and the opportunities you have. But He keeps you. He knows your life. He knows your shortcomings and your good side. He knows everything. He saved you when you come and said, whosoever. You're one of the whosoever. Please, you need to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God. That was the whole purpose of Jesus Christ coming to earth, that we may have eternal life and get back into fellowship with God the Father. All this work the Lord Jesus carried out, that we can have life, life eternal. It's so important, my friend, that you look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't think you're not one of the chosen, so I can't be saved. Don't think you can lose your salvation once you've come by faith to Jesus Christ. Please, go to Jesus Christ. Trust in Him today. Look to Him. Please. You know, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Please, be one of the whosoever today. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?